Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
That was Victory in Jesus from Praise for the Lord.
Good morning. I hope you all are having a great morning and getting ready to go to church, and we would love to have you come and see us on our special Friends and Family Day this morning over at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. You know, several congregations are having about this time of year their homecomings, as they call it, and we call ours our Friends and Family Day. We're going to gather together, and as we worship God, then afterwards we're all going to have a fellowship meal together. If there's any way that you could join us this morning, we sure would appreciate it. Our Bible study starts at 9:30. Shortly after 10, we'll enter into our worship service with fellowship immediately following, and we so much appreciate you considering coming out and visiting us at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. I also get great encouragement from you all as you tell me that you listen to this radio broadcast. And this morning, I would like to talk to you about something which is an encouragement to us all, and that is the treasure of God's gospel, the good news. The word gospel itself means the good news, and I am privileged and have a great responsibility to preach that gospel message this morning to you, and for us to look at some things in the scripture about why the gospel is indeed a treasure to all of us, why it is the good news of Jesus Christ. So, first of all, let's think about how that the word gospel, since it means good news, there are different ways that we can say that. We don't need to get caught up too much in semantics. If somebody's preaching Christ, if they're preaching the faith, if they're preaching the gospel, they're preaching all the same thing. The Bible even uses these terms interchangeably. For example, there are different synonyms for the word gospel given in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians 1, the Apostle Paul is talking, and he said in verse 11, "I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." So the gospel that he presented, that good news of Christ, was the same thing as when he preached Christ. So you go down a little bit further in Galatians 1 to verse 16, and it says that to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. What did you preach, Paul? I preached him. Well, what were you preaching, Paul? The gospel, the same gospel he mentioned back in verse 11. And yet, what does he call it here? He calls it preaching Christ. And then you go down a little bit further. And what did they know about you, Paul? Well, it says that he was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. What did you preach, Paul? The faith? What do you call that? The gospel? What does that mean? I preached Christ. It's all synonyms for the same thing. The treasure that God has revealed unto us in the mystery of the gospel, which formerly was unknown to man, but has since the completion of the New Testament been revealed unto us, and starting with that generation until now, the borders of God's kingdom are enlarged, and souls are added unto the Lord's kingdom, and it's a great opportunity for people to come out and to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and worship together in the Lord's church, for them to realize that God has called us together to cause this world to be a better place, for us to spread the good cheer, the good news of the gospel of Christ. It is indeed a valuable treasure. You know, if somebody has a physical treasure, they don't go off and say, well, the greatest joy I get from this is to hide it and never use it at all. Although some people do turn their wealth into some sort of game or something, the fact is that these people are seen as some of the most pitiable in all of life, those who have great riches and never enjoy them. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a great treasure which is intended to be used. And furthermore, you can never use it up. We can go out there and spread the gospel to people and cause them to be enriched in their lives, and it just spurs us on to use that gospel even more. It is a great well of wealth to us, wealth for the soul. And the treasure of the gospel is such that it has been spread, and the Bible examples of it being spread are just one time after another in the Scripture, and the reasons why they were so insistent about spreading this gospel, that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. First of all, let's go over to Acts chapter 8. In this case, we find where Philip, the man of God there, and some people would style him as a deacon in the Lord's church. At the very least, of course, he was an evangelist, whatever other titles we might give to him. But anyway, he starts preaching Jesus Christ. Now, they started hearing Christ, first of all, in the area of Jerusalem. And remember that it was said by Jesus that the gospel would be spread at Jerusalem, throughout all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, what's happening here is the gospel has begun in Jerusalem, it is spreading throughout Judea, and now by the time you get down to Acts chapter 8, it is spreading into the area where the Israelites had sort of mixed in some with the Gentiles, and that area of Samaria, and they are ready to receive the gospel of Christ. So in Acts chapter 8, Philip starts preaching there in that area of Samaria, and as he is talking to these people, then he imparts to them the gospel treasure, the good news that they also can be saved according to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, for him to preach the gospel to these people was no doubt a great privilege to him, and when he realizes that these people are going to respond to the gospel and God's kingdom can be more than just right there at the city of Jerusalem and right there in the area of Judea, but instead it's a big broad thing that it can spread to those who were formerly thought of as untouchables, if you will, people that, you know, either wouldn't listen to the truth or that maybe weren't really respectable to good Jews, and now they can receive that gospel. Oh, it's such a burden lifted off of them, and it's such a joy for the one who's preaching it, because he realizes that, hey, this gospel is for everybody, and that's the way the good news is. So in Acts chapter 8, Philip begins to preach to these Samaritans. And we begin in verse 5, it says that Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. Many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. You see, God is showing that it's okay. You can preach the gospel to these people. Now, we take that for granted nowadays. But back then, you see, it was just a real big thing. And I'll tell you what, sometimes we need to learn that lesson today as well, that the gospel is for everybody. Sometimes we assume that, well, this person won't listen to it. They just have too many other thoughts and burdens in their life, and they're not really interested in it. Well, I deny that entirely. People will listen to the gospel in situations and at times that you never would have thought possible. And that's because God's word is just that powerful. It grips you, and it dives within your heart, and it pricks the heart and causes people to turn to Jesus Christ in many different situations in life. And these people over in Samaria were listening to Philip preach the gospel, and as he preached Christ unto them, then they believed the gospel, they obeyed the gospel in being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Well, look here in Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. So different individuals receiving the gospel truth obeyed the gospel and started out as New Testament Christians, spreading the gospel and the God's kingdom, not just to Judea there, but now and into Samaria. And pretty soon, especially by the Apostle Paul, we understand the gospel was going to spread to the whole earth. Well, even though the civilized world back then was receiving the gospel of Christ, we want the world even today to receive the gospel of Christ. And that's a big job before us. If we're going to preach Christ, that is, preach the gospel, then that includes telling people to obey Him. Now, some are going to receive that and some are not. And this is where it gets to be also a great responsibility for us. Some people, when they reject the gospel, it causes us to lose some of our excitement. Well, yes, I know the gospel is good news, but they sure didn't receive it as good news because, you see, we testified that the world's deeds are evil. And as it says in John 7, verse 7, you know, the world doesn't like that. It hates the idea that people are going to challenge what they're doing and that they need to repent. So part of the gospel message is that people should obey God and they have to turn their lives around. And if they're going to be true Christians, the obedience unto the gospel is going to turn off a great number of people who are simply unwilling to obey. But still, you find a great number of people, especially right here in the Bible Belt, in the mid-south of the country, that they do have respect for the basic core message of the gospel. The gospel message, the good news, is that you must obey, but first of all, it is for them to understand facts about what Jesus has done for them. In the history of the world, that He did die for us upon the cross, that He was raised from the dead, and that these facts cannot be denied. In the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 15, and in verses 1 through 4, we are told the core message of the gospel. Now, this message is respected by a great number of people, and I'm trying to get you to see how that if you start with that, maybe you can get them to respect that so much that they will repent, that they will obey the gospel, because it is such a fabulous bit of good news for us to learn. Pretend for a moment you don't know anything in life about Jesus Christ and the gospel. Somebody brings you the message of the gospel for the first time. Here's what you're going to learn. Just like it was said by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Well, Paul, what did you preach to them? Verse 3. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You see, this basic core element to the gospel, the central message that Jesus Christ has died for you, and that not only that, but He gives us victory over death. Not only can your sins be forgiven, but you can live eternally with the Father in heaven and have fellowship with Jesus Christ, who has loved you so much that He gave Himself for you. That is a wonderful, great message. People receive that and they receive it with joy. But some people, of course, they don't like the idea of having to change their lives to conform their lives to the image of Christ. Well, if you can get them to respect what Jesus has done for them enough, perhaps they will overcome their stubbornness and their lack of repentance and turn their lives around. The gospel is that powerful a force. It is the good news that can change the world, and nothing else is going to do it. Well, how does God get this gospel to people? Well, obviously, He uses preachers of the gospel, for example. And that's why there is a big responsibility upon me this morning. I have to give you the truth. Woe unto me if I do not preach the truth. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4, at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and beginning at verse 3, the Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, I'm trying to get the word out. If somebody doesn't want to hear it, then, you know, that's on them, because the word is going out there. It's going out over WTKY. It's going out in the Sunday morning sermons. It's going out in Sunday night and on Wednesday night. It's going out in the house-to-house evangelism. It's going out with all the members that go from Mount Gilead and walk around with it day by day. It is getting out there to the people, but some people don't want to hear it, so it's hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, Paul said, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that inspiring? To know that you're receiving that kind of message from God, and that you're receiving it through His servants, people who are supposed to bring that message, the ambassadors for Jesus Christ. He says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." So he's saying God chose to present the Bible, the Word of Jesus Christ, through people, and in that way give glory unto God. Not through one particular person. We don't have somebody like, for example, a Pope figure and say, well, everybody just listen to them. But instead, God says, I gave mankind my Word, and that Word goes out through all kinds of people. And these people, as they present the gospel, that results in glory being given unto God and not unto man. So we have this treasure, the treasure of the gospel, in earthen vessels. To live the gospel in our bodies as we go about our daily lives will give God glory and result in our salvation and the salvation of all those who see us. So there is a great work, even if you're not a preacher of the gospel per se, to go out and preach by virtue of how you live, to preach by virtue of your shining example of Jesus Christ before everybody who may see you today. The gospel is good news. Now, for Christians, that means that this whole story has a victorious ending. We need to be telling people and showing them the reason we live happy and productive lives as Christians is because we know that we are victorious in Jesus Christ. We inherit the earth. We shall receive the New Jerusalem descending from God. We shall live eternally with Him in that eternal paradise that God has prepared for us. And everybody can be a part of that. It's not just for one particular class of people. It's not just for male or female or young or old. Everybody can be a part of it. The gospel, therefore, is a wonderful treasure from God because it gives to people a powerful message of victory in Jesus Christ. Now, I said the gospel is a powerful message. We have this reinforced to us again in Romans chapter 1. In Romans 1, in verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why, Paul? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So whoever it is will receive can understand that God has presented to us a great power. This good news, or power of God, comes unto us in the form of words. The words tell us of the true actions and faithfulness of Jesus Christ, who not only gave Himself for us, but was raised again on the third day. He did all of that to teach and instruct us that denying worldliness and godly lusts, we might receive the grace of God and live in that grace until He calls us home. Now, this rejoicing that we have in the power of the gospel of Christ is only for those who have obeyed the gospel. For example, in Acts chapter 8 again, if we go back there to where we started earlier, Philip is preaching the gospel to all these different folk. Now, after he had preached to the Samaritans, he meets up with a man, the Ethiopian nobleman. And this person in the palace of the queen, the Ethiopian eunuch, he meets up with Philip. And God has Philip preach the gospel message to him. It says in verse 35 of Acts 8 that Philip opened his mouth and he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now that good news is going to make a person happy, right? So you would expect them to rejoice. Well, indeed, that's exactly what this man did. He rejoiced to receive that good news. You see, he opened his mouth and he preached Jesus to him. And they went on their way and they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, well, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now listen closely to this. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He didn't rejoice when he just first received the message of the gospel because it demanded his obedience, but he was willing to obey. And I want you to ask yourself, when did he actually start rejoicing? Before or after his baptism? Well, obviously it was after, wasn't it? Because that's what it says. He baptized him, they both went down into the water, they came back out, and only then in verse 39 does it say he went on his way rejoicing. So this preaching of the gospel resulted in him obeying the gospel, and then he could rejoice. The victory in Jesus Christ brought to us by the powerful message of the gospel results in great rejoicing, but only if you will obey. Will you do that? Will you obey the gospel today? We can help you. And there are people out there, Christian folk, who are praying for you this morning even. And they want you to come on out to church. And they want you to obey the gospel of Christ so that we together can look forward to the home of heaven. And want you to live better, as a Christian ought to. Oh, you say, well, I live just as good as some of those people in the church. Well, here's the difference. I'm not denying how good you live as an individual. I don't even know exactly who's listening right now in this broadcast. So you tell me you're living just as good as those folk in the church. I don't deny you live just as good of a moral life. But I will tell you this. There is a difference between somebody who's saying, Lord, you know, I'm not perfect, and I do sin, and I need your forgiveness, and I do thank you that you have forgiven me as a Christian in Christ, that you cover me with your grace. There is a difference between that and in somebody out here who says, well, I live just as good as old Joe over there, and therefore I don't need your grace. Now, there's a big difference. One person is relying upon the power of God, and that person is forgiven. The other person is relying upon the power of their own goodness, and that simply will not get them to heaven. It won't even get you on the first rung of the ladder. It will get you eternal damnation in hell if you don't humble your soul, if you don't come before God, relying upon His grace and say, Lord, whatever you want from me, that's what I'll do. It's more than just being a good moral person, because all of us fail in that regard sometimes. It is also doing the will of God to obey the gospel of Christ, because it is good news for all those who will receive it, and then staying faithful to it, because that's how we remain in the grace of God. Well, I want to make some final observations here from Acts chapter 8, and then just a few more Bible passages to finish out this morning. The gospel is a wonderful treasure given from God because it's a plain message. Peter told people to obey the gospel there on the day of Pentecost by repenting and being baptized for forgiveness of sins. You see how easy that is to preach? Somebody is told about what Jesus did for them, and they are told how to respond to it. Now that's how plain the gospel is. Philip told the Samaritans of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And hearing that gospel of God, they believed and were baptized. Acts chapter 8, verses 12 and 13, that I've already read to you before. And remember, it says even Simon himself, that old sorcerer, he believed and he was baptized. This is the plain gospel message. Now, sometimes people give some very convoluted ideas about what it means to be saved. And there's no reason to try to make it sound all that mysterious. There's no reason for us to talk about things that are not included in God's Word. Somebody says, well, what you need to do is you need to have this prayer of faith and say, Lord Jesus, I receive you into my heart and so forth, and you know, save me now from my sins and all that. And if you'll have that kind of trusting faith, then you can be saved. Well, isn't it much simpler? Isn't it much plainer to simply tell someone believe on Jesus Christ and to tell them to repent of sin and to tell them to confess their faith in Christ and be baptized for forgiveness of sins? If you do your part, God will take care of all the spiritual operations and the cleansing of sin. You don't have to try to figure out all these mysterious incantations and all these sort of prayers for forgiveness that people try to give you if God doesn't mention them in the Bible. There is plenty of time and place for prayer. But God talks about us praying unto Him as our Father in heaven, and He becomes our Father and we in His family if we will obey His gospel. Some people really like to talk about all kinds of fancy words you can say in prayer unto God, but they leave off the basic change of life, repentance. They leave off the confession of faith. They leave off baptism for forgiveness of sins. In doing so, they take away part of the treasure of the gospel, because that treasure is beautiful to behold. It is plain. It is powerful if you will simply receive those invitations that are given to us in the Bible and follow the same great example of those Samaritans who received the word and as Philip preached it to them, of those people on Pentecost who received the word of the Apostle Peter as it was preached to them. If you'll just do what they did, you'll get what they got. Now, if you do something that you don't read about in the Bible, then there's no guarantee of you getting anything, because it's simply not there in the Scriptures. The gospel is a great treasure for us because it gives us a chance to obey the true gospel today. Now, whatever you have done in the past, if you thought perhaps at some time that you were okay with God, but you don't really know, then perhaps you don't know because you don't have the sure promise of God given in the Bible that you are saved. If you, however, will serve God and obey His gospel, He'll give you another chance. He's giving you that chance right now. You're listening to this broadcast. You desire to serve the Lord. You know that Jesus died for you. Then what holds you back? Why not come on out and worship God with us? Why not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul? And then spread that good cheer to everybody round about you. Oh, you say, Tim, at some point in my life I did do that. But I'm afraid I fell back into the same old sins that I was committing before. Well, God is still the God of second chances. In Acts chapter 8 and in verse 22, that man Simon that was baptized back in Acts chapter 8 and verse 13 when he heard Philip preach, by verse 22 he had already committed an awful sin. And so he was told, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." You see, there's your place for prayer. Somebody is a child of God, and they look unto God as their Father, and they say, "Lord, I failed you, and I want to come back." And God will give us that next chance. And He is the God that gives us such a great good news in the gospel. It's such a treasure to us because the Lord keeps on giving those chances. And, you know, I might throw up my hands and say, "Well, I give up. You know, I can't do anything with Him anymore." But God is a God of patience, He's a God of love, and He waits upon you this morning to turn your life around. Won't you try one more time? Won't you pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and let the Lord turn you into the kind of person that you know you need to be? So I ask you this morning, have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Without obedience unto that good news that we are given, then there can be no salvation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 9 says that the Lord will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 10 and verse 16 and surrounding verses, we understand that we need to confess our faith in Christ, that we do need to obey the gospel because they have not all obeyed the gospel, as it points out there. And obeying the gospel means that we will be a part of the good news that is spread throughout the world. You'll be a part of something bigger than just yourself. You know, you should want to obey the gospel for the salvation of your own soul, but also think about other people that are around you. How will they be influenced by the good example that you have of going to church and living a good Christian life? You think about how that Christians are the salt of the earth. We preserve the earth. We give it its flavor, its spice, if you will. And if you really want to serve God and serve Him acceptably, then you should come unto Jesus Christ not only because you will avoid hell yourself, but because you will bring so many other souls potentially with you to go to heaven and to live with God forever. I want to leave you with a passage here from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. "The time has come that the judgment must begin at the house of God," the Apostle Peter said, "and if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" The good news of God, who will obey it? For those who will not, then, you know, there's the awful prospect of a devil's hell. But for those who will, that's why it is such a treasure to them. They can rejoice in that they are given victory in Jesus Christ. They can rejoice in that every word and everything from the mouth of God, every good promise that was given from the Old Testament all the way down through the book of Revelation, God is going to shower those blessings upon them. And we rejoice in that, just like those people rejoiced when they obeyed the gospel in the Bible. If there's any way that the Mount Gilead Church of Christ can help you as you study upon God's Word, if you're ready to give your life over to God, obey Him, and be saved from all of your sins, then why not give us a call, 487-5342. Why not come out and worship with us? We're just north of Tompkinsville as you turn on the left on Mount Gilead Road after you go past the Walmart, and down Mount Gilead Road, the church building will be on the right. Come out and see us today. You'll be glad you did, and especially today for our Friends and Family Day. We're hoping to have a real good crowd present and on hand, and we'd love to worship with you. I thank you for listening this morning. Won't you tune in again next week as we study upon God's Word for the Mount Gilead Church of Christ? I'm Tim McHenry.